right? We see hard times in our life and we're like, oh, poor me. What about me? And Paul's like, I don't really care about that. Timothy, I need to encourage you, and I want to light a fire under you, and I want you to keep going. Because though my time might be drawing to an end, because Paul was, he was privy to that. He knew that things were coming to a close in his life, but he knew that Timothy was going to carry on. Right, as disciple, and that's why we make disciples, right? Not to reproduce ourselves, but reproduce worshipers, so that God's word can continue to go forth. Because if we don't, it's going to stop. Okay, and even though God is in control, and He will get His word where He needs to go, but He's entrusted us with His word, and He's called us to make disciples. He's called us to reproduce, and we do that through God's word. And Timothy, you know, he was having some difficulties in the church, and people were trying to disrupt and teach false doctrine and all of this. So what we're going to see today, though, we're going to begin a portion of Scripture, and I titled this message today, that you have been charged, okay? You, myself, believers around the world have been charged. Just as Paul is charging Timothy here, we're not talking about being charged like you've been charged with a crime, okay? You've been charged, you've been empowered, or you've been encouraged, you've been cattle prodded in the rear so that you can do this. And so all of us in this room today have been charged. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 today, but we're just going to break verse 1 apart today, and then we'll get to 3 through 5 next week. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. God, I pray today, God, you would just empower us. God, you've charged us. God, you've given us what we need. We have your word that you preserved for us. And God, what if we're crazy enough to believe that you really have charged us and called us to take it to the world? And God, I pray you change our hearts today if we don't believe that. And God, empower us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, to do what we think is impossible, but God, you know is possible. So God, we trust you with that, and God, we pray today you're glorified, your word goes forth, our lives are changed, and Father, that we would honor you with that, and we wouldn't keep it to ourselves and hide it on the bookshelf or in the storehouse, but God, that we would get it out and spread it, and Father, allow the seed to go where it needs to go. So God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name, amen. So we read five verses to put this into context, right? Because we don't just pick and choose what we're doing. So we read the first five verses, and we could have turned this into a message and preached until 2:30 when we needed to start setting up, but some of us needed to eat lunch. So we're going to look at just one verse today, and we're going to see some things out of there, out of this thing, and we're going to see how Paul charges Timothy. And this charge we see here is more of a charge more than just a charge from Paul to Timothy. What I want us to see here today is we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at the what, the who, the when, the where, and the action, okay, that's going to take place in this verse today. So what we see there is, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The what? The what is the charge that we see here. Paul charges Timothy to do something, which we'll get to in a bit. But what we see here is that there has been something that Paul is testifying Timothy to do. Okay, there's something that Paul is saying, listen up, Timothy, because you need to get after something. You need to do something. Something for him to take action, which we'll also see in this verse as well. So what we must ask ourselves is, what is going on here? The what? We must remember that Timothy, like I said before in our opening, is that he was dealing with some false teachers in the church, and there were some issues that he had been dealing with. And here's the thing. He could have been like just about every other human being in the world, and he could have just fleshed it out, freaked out, and tried to handle things on his own, and did whatever it took to get this under control, right? Booted him out of the church, said, see you later, sayonara, I don't care about your soul, I don't care, just get out of here, right? But what we do in the flesh is not a good thing, right? We know from experience in our own lives, right? Because we've all had flesh experiences, right? We all have moments to where we flesh out, and nothing good comes of that, okay? We can try to justify it. We can try to cover it up. We can try to act like that we weren't in the flesh and that we weren't acting. We just, you know, make up excuses. But man, when you're in the flesh, though you may not know it at the moment, everyone around you knows that you're in the flesh. Amen? And they sometimes they're brave enough to say, you're in the flesh. And then, and only then, do you realize that you're in the flesh because you're like, I'm not in the flesh, right? And then you're like, maybe I am in the flesh. You know what, though? We need those people that are brave enough to stand up and say, you're not walking in the Spirit. You are not walking. And then we don't do that to each other to like put each other down. We do that to each other to lift each other up. Because if we're in the flesh, man, we're walling around in the pig mud, right? We're just acting like fools, acting like the old man. And when someone, a brother or sister, comes along and says, listen, you're not walking in the Spirit, okay? You're not glorifying God with your life. That's going to enrage our flesh, okay? But maybe that's what it takes to bring us back to realize, oh my goodness, I am not walking in the Spirit. And I am glorifying my own flesh. And I'm making sure everybody around me sees what my flesh is truly about. Or, so he could have either fleshed out, but Paul says, I charge thee, right? I charge thee to walk in the Spirit. And though he doesn't say that here, but Timothy could handle things biblically. He could handle it with the Word of God. Paul's testifying to Timothy to do this. He's charging him. And here's the thing. In 1 and 2 Timothy, we see at least 8 times in 1 and 2 Timothy the word charge. So there's a lot of charging going on in these two letters. Either Paul is charging Timothy to do something, or he's telling Timothy to charge others to do something. And you can see those. I'll give you the verses and you can go back and look at them. In 1 Timothy, you see it in chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 18, chapter 5, verse 7. If you want these, I'll give them to you later. Chapter 5, verse 21, chapter 6, verse 13 and 17. And then in 2 Timothy, you see it right here in verse 1 of chapter 4. And again, towards the end in verse 16. So you can see these 8 different things, right? At least 8 things. There could be, I might have missed 1 or 2, or I don't know, maybe 8. But I found 8 of those as I was studying this out, that there's a lot of charging going on. There's a lot of encouraging going on. There's a lot of, man, get after it. What we must realize as children of God is that we have been charged with the same exact thing here. Though Timothy's a pastor, right? He had been placed as a shepherd over the church in Ephesus, and yes, he was the pastor of that church, and not all of us here are pastors or going to be pastors. We are all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been charged to do something. And we talk all the time about preaching the gospel. We talk all the time about the going part, to go, right? But what we must understand from God's word is that the disciples and Paul and Timothy and just about everyone else we read about in the New Testament had spent a great deal of time being prepared. Being prepared. We will not go if we're not prepared. We will not put our boots into action if we are not prepared. Though we may try, we're not going to go very far because we don't know where we're going or what we're doing. So maybe your charge today is to get prepared. Have ownership of this charge, taking it seriously, being prudent with what is offered. We're all busy, okay? If you only knew my schedule. That's an excuse. It really is. We are all busy. Every single person in this room is busy, and we're all busy about different things. And we will always find something to say, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I can't do that. I'm too busy. We'll always find something. If we're not, we'll find something to get busy with, right? We'll fill that time. But what if our priority, in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of our crazy life, we all, you know, we have jobs, we have kids to take care of, we have ministry, we are busy people, and I know that. But what if our priority was our calling first and foremost, right? Our calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives in the midst of our busyness. Oftentimes we take God and we say, God, I'm too busy right now. Wait right here. Be a good God. Wait right here. And then we go into our busyness and we wonder why our lives are so chaotic. And God's over here going, I'm waiting. But what if we say, God, I want you in the midst of my busyness. I want you in the midst of my crazy life. And I want you to be the center of that because you've called me, man, to glorify you with my life and reproduce. And he wants to be in the midst of that. And you know what happens when we allow God to be in the midst of our craziness and all of that is that we begin to prioritize what really is important in our lives. And I'm not saying that what's in our lives is not important, but some things are not as important as others. If our priority was our calling, getting prepared to train up our children the way they should go, getting trained up to study the word, getting prepared to be able to teach others also, this is why we're here. This is why God called New Life Baptist Church to Clinton, Missouri, to prepare the saints, right? To take God's word, invest it in the souls of men and women so that they can go and do it as well. And so that it can spread like wildfire. And I'm not saying that that's not happening in this town, but that's why God called us here, right? To reproduce worshipers of his word so that, man, there's a lot, we're going to see hundreds and hundreds of folks tonight. And there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of them that do not know who Jesus Christ are. And what if God brought us here to this place to train up men and women to go out and to reach our community so that people can be enlightened, so the light could shine into their dark life? What if we were serious about our calling? We don't want to just be another church on the corner. We have to be serious about this. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build that house. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we've already looked at this a while back. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We prepare so that we can go. We need to be doing that. Our charge is to get prepared. We need to be ready for whatever comes into our life. Instead of just being one of those people that just, you know, fake it till you make it, or I'll just wait and see what comes along and then we'll figure out how to navigate through it. That's like walking into a fire with a blindfold on, right? It's just not smart. So the who is our authority. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the who in this passage is our authority in our lives. We have many authorities. Yes, we do, but the authority here is not Paul nor Timothy, okay? Paul is not usurping his authority over Timothy. He's saying the authority in your life, Timothy, is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, the authority in your life is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must first and foremost remember that. And I'm not saying that all of the other authorities in our lives are not important and that God has not placed them in our lives for a reason. But first and foremost, the authority that we answer to, that we will all see, we're going to get to, I'm going to get ahead of myself, that we will all stand before one day, that's the authority that we need to first and foremost worry about. And be in tune with. He has been charged before his authority, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our final authority. The problem with the world today, and even with some believers, believe it or not, is that they think that they don't have to answer to anyone. They spend their whole lives fighting against the authority and, you know, just as John Cougar Mellencamp says, and I've shared this, you know, I fight the authority, but the authority always wins and I can't figure it out. It's because we have authority in our lives so that we can figure it out. And sometimes those authorities put us in a place where we will figure it out, right? Why don't you sit here for a little while and you'll figure it out. And God is not much different than that. Though he pours out his grace and mercy, sometimes he's like, listen up, Jack, you need to stop and you need to figure this out. Because you are not the authority. Whether it be here on earth or in heaven, the authority is there in place for a reason. And what we must understand here is that the authority that we see in our text is not a dual authority. You say, well, we see that, okay, you see God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know that they are one. And they go together. This is not two different dual authorities. Okay? And you can look at Matthew. Let me read this verse for you real quick. Matthew 28:18. Just to back this up. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? God has given Jesus Christ the authority. He's given him the power. He's passed that down to him. Though they are one, right? Jesus is God in the flesh. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So the power is God, okay? The power is Jesus Christ, the authority. We see in these verses the authority, the one that every single person will stand before one day. There's no avoiding this, okay? And that's what the world needs to realize. Whether you're a believer or you're lost, we will stand before the authority one day, and we will have to look face to face, right? And we can see believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You can see that. Let me just read it. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone that received the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, believers, we will stand before God, right, at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an answer for the things that we did or did not do with what he had given us. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, this is not where you want to find yourself. This is not where you don't want to be a part of this story.
I did it again. No, I'm in the wrong spot. Sorry. I was like, dang it. Okay. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's not a made-up fairy tale. It's not something that we just, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. No, God's word is true, and this is what's going to happen. And we do not want to find ourselves in that place. We do not want to find those that we have contact with. One day, they're going to stand, and man, you know what? We're going to watch, and we're going to give an account. Why didn't we speak up? Why didn't we share the truth with them? Or maybe we did. Maybe we did. And you know what? The end is death for those. Eternal death in the lake of fire. You know, just as every man was found guilty of sin, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is offered to all that will believe and be set free. Penalty of death was bought and paid for, right? Over 2,000 years ago. Those who rejected this have eternity in hell waiting for them. Those that will not believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the end is not good. God is the final judge, not man. No man tries to enter this position, right? I will judge. God rightfully judges mankind. He's just. You know, Jesus describes his authority by his teaching. He didn't go around telling everybody, I'm God in the flesh. Sit down, shut up, and listen. That's not how he rolled, right? He allowed his actions and his words to speak. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, it says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not just as the scribes. So this had all just, you know what, Jesus had just rounded up his disciples. He's like, hey, you, come with me. Follow me. Forsake all of that. Follow me. And they roll up into the synagogue, and they plop down, and then Jesus begins to teach. And I'm sure their minds, the disciples' minds, were like, wow, this is amazing. This is who we're going to follow. But all those that were there, it says they were astonished. They were astonished. They took notice at Jesus and his doctrine. This is how we ought to be when we lay our eyes on God's word. When we open it up, we should be like, wow, this is amazing. This is mind-blowing. I don't even understand this, but it's amazing. We should get excited. Why? Because he's our authority, and he has given us every single thing that we need right here in the pages of his word.
And we oftentimes, this becomes work. This becomes, I have to, the pastor's going to tell me on Sunday morning that I have to read my Bible this week, so I better do it so I don't have to lie. And we just like, and we drool on our pages, and we just shut it after, like, set the timer for 10 minutes. And then we just stare at it, blindly at it, and for like 10 minutes, because we have not realized, man, how awesome it is. And the moment that we realize how awesome it is and how much God is speaking to us through His Word, well, we, man, then our eyes will be open, our hearts will be open, and we'll get excited about it. We will. And this may take some time, or it may just take opening it and being like, whoa, this is awesome. So when it comes to the authority in our lives, you know, like I said, there can be several. And we need to submit ourselves to our authority. But what we have to realize is that God is the final authority. And if something's going against what God has told us plainly in His Word, then we need to back up and we need to reevaluate. There's spiritual authorities, there's physical authorities, there's authorities in the local church, there's a structure. God ordains authorities. And this authority is not to be abused. So Paul has charged Timothy before our authority, the who, to do something. Okay, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who. That's our authority. And then there's an action. Because our authority will do something. It will judge. And Isaiah 33:22 says, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawmaker, our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, He will save us. And like we've talked about already, we will stand before the Lord one day, and we will be judged for those things which we did or did not do. We have been commanded by our authority, by the Word of God, which is, you know, John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So we understand that this is God, right? We understand that God is the Word. The Word is God. It's all the same. So when we stand before the Lord one day, we will be judged for what we did with these commandments, what He's told us directly as we lay our eyes on these words, as our ears are tuned to His Word, as God speaks to us, we'll be judged for that. Because God is not like us. Here's the thing. Oftentimes, okay, maybe even today, I mean, who knows? We've signed up to do something, right? And maybe we signed up to do something out of emotion. That's not, you don't ever want to do that, okay? You don't. It's just a bad place to be. But maybe we've signed up to do something. And then when it comes down to it, we're like, I'm not going to do that, right? And we just bail. We don't follow through with what we say we're going to do. And I'm not saying that's us, but sometimes it can be us. We don't take action. But God, He's not like that. Because He will do what He says He will do. You know why? Because He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie. Neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall He do not... Hath He said and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? In Titus 1:1-3, it says, Paul, a servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of God our Savior. And then one more in Hebrews 6. Verse 13 through 20, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation for who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, but sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us unentered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Man has been lying since mankind's been around. Okay? We're all liars. Maybe not anymore, but one time we were all liars. If you say you weren't, you're lying right now because you've all lied at some point in your life. Okay? We have. Did you eat those cookies? You're lying, right? Where'd all the brownies go? I don't know. You're lying. That's how it rolls in my house. So, but God is perfect. He's the perfect judge. He does what he says when he says he will do it, exactly how he says he's going to do it. So when Paul says all of this, he is pointing to the Lord's appearing, which leads us to the when, okay? This is what we're all waiting for, right? This is what we're all waiting for. Just as Travis said this morning, right? The rapture, we all are looking forward to that. But there's a time, right? This time that God has given us. We're all waiting on the Lord for us believers to be raptured out of this place and to see Jesus face to face. But here's what's important for us to understand. This time period, this time of sanctification, right, between salvation and glorification, and we've talked about this, this time that we are to be set apart, this time that we are to be getting prepared, this time that we are to be about his business, this time period, we've all been given a time period. And God knows exactly how many seconds each one of us have. You know what? In some of us, our time period is different. Some of us, our time period is running short. Some of us may have longer. But God knows, and we don't. We have no idea. It says in Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And what is awesome is that we have a finish line that we're all pressing towards. Okay? And though we may not be able to see that finish line yet, we all know it's there. Just as Paul says, I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. He knows that at the end of his life, he will be with Jesus. The appearing will take place. And this is not a made-up fairy tale that we're all chasing after. But what if it was? What if it was? What if God's word wasn't true? But we were crazy enough to believe it by faith and live our lives to the glory of God, looking unto the end, looking to spend eternity with him. What if we got there and it was, oh, this is wrong. What did we waste? Nothing. But what of those that say, you guys are all lunatics, God's word is not true, and they get to the end, and they were wrong. We know, we've seen what their end is. We are chasing after God's word. We believe what the Bible says, and through faith, right? Faith in his word. That faith, we withstand persecutions, trials, tribulations that come along with this life that we're living. And though it may not be easy, we know that one day we get to spend eternity with him. One day it will all be over. Are we looking to the return of Jesus? Are we waiting upon that return? Or are we focused on the things around us and seem too consumed over our time that, you know what? May not even understand it, may not be able to even know when it takes place, but you will. So we need to be set apart. We need to be focused. We need to be looking for the return of Christ because the things of this world, they're just seeking to consume us. They're seeking to steal those seconds that we have away. And we can't get them back. There's no store that we can go and say, I need 17 more seconds, right? I'm out of time. There's no store like that. That is a fairy tale. That is like, man, I wish I could go back to when I was 12 and I could change what I did then because my life would be different now. No, you can't do that. It's impossible. We cannot be consumed by the things of this world. We cannot be consumed by the things of this past. We need to be different. What we need to understand, though we may be consumed by the things right now, when it all goes down, every man will see his coming. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. No one will mistakenly miss it. And then the where, his kingdom. You know the theme of the Bible. If you know the theme of the Bible, just slip your hand up. Nobody's like going to be like, you're stupid. I want to know. Does anybody know the theme of the Bible? So some of us do, some of us don't. Praise the Lord. We're all going to know now, okay? Open your Bible into the front page if you don't know it, or in your phone or something. This is the theme of the Bible. It's super simple. A king and his kingdom. It's that simple. The theme of the whole entire Bible is a king and his kingdom, okay? Now, we all know, what's the theme of the Bible? A king and his kingdom, okay? We got that. If you don't and you forget it when we get done, just ask me and I'll help you. A king and his kingdom. The theme of the Bible. We must understand that God's kingdom involves heaven and earth, okay? I almost did this. I almost stepped into a trap and got into the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, okay? We would be here for weeks. And if you want to know, sign up for D2. They actually just went through this in D2. And they might still be going through this in D2. I'm going to give you just an insight, just a real quick definition of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven, okay? And then we'll move on. I promise we won't tarry here. Because this is you can't cover this in 3 minutes. So that there's a difference, okay? A lot of times, maybe you're reading commentary or you're reading a sermon online or you're hearing something and they lump the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven into one pile, right? And it's just a big pile of kingdom stuff, but they're different. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, right? We have to understand this. There's a difference between a physical kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is spiritual because God is an eternal being. And you know what? The kingdom must have two things. It must have a king and subjects, okay? The king of this kingdom is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The subject to this kingdom are spiritual beings, the sons of God, made in his image. The kingdom of God is within you. And in Luke 17:21, it says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God, heaven, is a physical place. It's a literal place. God created heaven. You can see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The king of this kingdom is the Son of Man, the king of the Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ. The subjects of this kingdom are literal flesh and blood human beings. And Jesus will reign physically. Daniel 7, 13 through 14. You can go and read that. So if you want to know more about that, sign up for D2. And you won't be so confused, I promise. I don't want to get too deep into those, but the kingdom is important. There's a time and a place for us to learn more about that. But we must understand that they're two different places, they're two different things, and oftentimes, like I said, they're lumped together. So it says, I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. We looked at the what, the charge, the who, the authority, the action, shall judge the quick and the dead, the when, at his appearing, the where, the kingdom, right? So we understand that what's going on here. And the next week, we're going to move on. We're going to look at three things next week. We're going to look at three things that Paul encourages Timothy with, and then we will see the why. Maybe some of you are like, you said all those, but why? You know, the thing is with the why, oftentimes, I didn't forget it, but we need to come back together so that we can get the why. But oftentimes we leave the why out of the issue. We don't always want to know why we are to do something because we don't want to know the reason behind things. We brush them off and pretend like there's not a problem. Inside our family circles at home, we don't want people to know why things are going on. Right? That's private business. They don't need to know why. They just need to know. We leave the why out. And even in God's word, sometimes we leave the why out. Go preach the gospel. Why? Because I said so. No, because God's word says so. Because that's our reasonable service. We just need to be doing that. We need to be telling people that there's a way out. Don't brush off the why. We're charged today, church, right? We need to understand this. We need to understand. We need to insert our name right here. Though this is a pastoral epistle, right, written to a pastor that's pastoring a church in Ephesus, and Paul's saying, I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Man, you got to be doing this. What if we said, God says, I charge thee therefore and enter your name. And then it becomes real. And then you have ownership. And though the Bible is not all written to us, it is all written for us. And we need to have ownership of God's word. We need to be like, man, every time I open this book, God is speaking to me directly, right? He is, man, his words are coming off the page, into my eyeballs, through my brain, straight to my heart. And sometimes they don't even get here because we just sit there dumbfounded at it like, we do. You know, some days we're just having a foggy day and we just can't do it. What if we push through that fog? we need to be listening to the Lord and following his direction for our lives. Not to be forgetful hearers, but to be doers of his word. To be doers of what he has asked us to do, right? He doesn't need us, right? He can accomplish whatever he wants by himself without us, and it would be a lot easier for him if we were, you know, it would. If he'd get us out of the way, man, it would be a lot easier for him. But it has a purpose for mankind. And he wants to use us, and he chooses to use us. Will we allow him to do that is the question. Will we allow him to charge us to go and do something? Will we allow him to use us even tonight? Even tonight, at a silly event that the community goes absolutely crazy over, that we didn't know what we signed up for last year, that we panicked and bought truckloads of candy, right? We didn't understand it. But what we did understand is that we were a great testimony to our community, and people talked about it. We didn't even have to advertise this year, guys, because all we did was love on people and fed them some food and just shine the light of Jesus, and they remembered it. I mean, we have awesome candy, don't get me wrong, but we are his people, and God has us here for a reason. So let's not forget that. Let's not forget that tonight, because I'm going to tell you, you're already signed up. Don't back out. I'll come get you. So it's going to get crazy, okay? Things are going to go crazy tonight. Things are going to go haywire tonight. Things are not going to go exactly how Tyler's awesome map on the whiteboard in there. We need to just scribble all over it because that's how things are going to roll. But that's okay. We have Rick that will like, man, he'll really get people in charge or get where they're going, right? No, we're just going to love on people. And if it looks like crazy chaos out here, hallelujah. Because Jesus is Lord and he's on the throne. And you know what? He laid it on New Life's heart to do things like this. Halloween, Christmas, all of these things, right? So that we can honor him, so that we can share the word with people. So let's pray.